Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Jennifer was a Martha. She was the kind of parishioner that everyone wants to have, including the other parishioners, because she was always doing something. She constantly worked as hard as she possibly could with almost every committee. She helped the confirmation class. She worked herself almost to death in the kitchen. If there was a potluck to be done, she would bring four times as much as anyone else, and then she would help set up the tables, help serve the meal, and then she would stay to do the dishes. She was both loved and a little reviled. In some ways, Jennifer kind of made the rest of us feel a little inadequate, not quite as committed. Well, frankly, not quite as Christian. She had a counterpart, same congregation. His name was George. Now, George was a thoughtful fellow, and I thought pretty cunning as well. George would manage to show up just a few minutes before the service started, and thereby avoiding any table, unnecessary setting up of tables or being asked to usher. George would take his place in his customary spot in the pew, and he would listen, and he would study, and he would just revel in the glory of it. When it came time for the potluck, he was usually first, second, or third in line, having forgotten to bring anything with him for it. And thereby, being first in line also meant you were first to leave. He was at every class that we ever had. He enjoyed all of the learning parts. He was merry to the core. And he was loved and just a little reviled. He was loved for his wisdom and his hunger to know the words of Jesus, but people noticed there was not a callus upon his hand. And ever it would be so. We all know the Marys and Marthas of every congregation, of every community. You even have them at work. You may not call them Mary and Martha, but you know who they are. And you love them. And you revile them. But I'm not sure that's what Jesus is after. It's so easy for us to pigeonhole others or even ourselves into categories that seem neat and clean and easy. And it may be that on first read that appears what Jesus is up to in the text for today. To say, oh, you know, Martha, her mind is distracted with many things. Mary has the better part. It's too easy to dismiss Martha. Too easy to love Mary. Or vice versa. But what if it's deeper? What if it's more? Mary is doing an amazing thing. And being in a modern society, we probably don't always see it. First of all, Jesus comes into the house of Mary and Martha. There is no mention of a man in the house. The Gospel of Luke summarily ignores Lazarus. He's not in the story, Fact is, this is the only place Mary and Martha will be mentioned in Luke. So here are two women with their own household. And Jesus, the master, comes into the house and they're supposed to be serving him. And Mary does what is not expected. She welcomes Jesus into the house and sits down at his feet like a man. Unapologetic, as if nothing is out of place, as if this is no problem. But remember, the first rule of every household is hospitality. So Mary breaks the conventions of her own time, and she plops herself down. I imagine her sitting in the lotus position, ready to receive the wisdom of the master. She has gone where she doesn't belong. There's a lot to be admired about that. Too often, then, we want to dismiss Martha as well. Because Martha seems to fall into the expected patterns that she's supposed to do. And she runs into the kitchen and she begins to get the meal together with shadows of Abraham at the Oaks of Mamre. I love that story because what's Abraham's primary role in hospitality? Telling other people what to do. Hey, get the servants. We got to go do this. Somebody go kill the cat, fatted calf. He at least manages the curds and whey, thank goodness. He's got the cow thing under control. But Martha does not only exactly what's expected to of her, she does exactly what's needed. So much so that isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic that while Jesus maybe does this gentle rebuke of Martha, just half a chapter before, he sent out 70 disciples saying, look, go into a house, and when you are received with hospitality, stay there. And if not, shake the dust from your shoes. Well, look, if there's no Martha, there's a lot of dust being shaken off the shoes. Not only that, Jesus will not command his disciples, come, my friends, and sit around the circle and listen to my 45-minute sermons day after day after day. I want you to be wise and deep. Yes. It's a both and. Jesus teaches them and then sends them out into the world to do the work that needs to be done. He makes Marthas of us all and Marys of us all. If Mary breaks tradition by being where she shouldn't, then Martha breaks tradition by being where she should. She does the unexpected. Mary does what's unexpected. Martha does what's needed. As we look at our own ministry and the ministry of the church, it turns out we are full of caricatures of Martha and Mary, but in the end, we are called to be a wonderful combination of both. Mary's and Martha's all. We are to be people of the head. Often, I love when I talk to people about our congregation, they'll say, you know, usually, oh, you're the gay church, you're the music church, or you're the head church. Everything in your head. I'm not even sure what church they're talking about, but it's apparently the one I'm the pastor of. We are people of the head, absolutely, as all of God's people are. We are called to think and to learn and to deepen, to understand more fully not only the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the world and its inner workings and its outer complexities. To be always curious and studied and never satisfied. People of the head, absolutely, yes. But we are also called to be people of the hands. Making sack lunches for 400 homeless people for IHS. Feeding people on the beach in Waianae. Making this place a welcome place for anyone who wants to come. Yes, broom and rake and shovel in hand. Absolutely, we are also people of the hands. Because where head and hands come together, we have the very heart of Jesus. Because it is with our heads and our hands that we love. It's not theoretical. It's not conceptual. It's not a maybe. It is, in fact, that the Mary and Martha in us come together to be the body of Christ. So enough of caricatures of Mary and Martha. It turns out they both have a role as disciples of Jesus. And so do every one of us. Together, head, hand, and heart, we are sent like the 70 in love to proclaim Christ now. Amen.